You know what time it is. Come on. Weekend. Warrior. Podcast. Let me hear you. Come on. Weekend. Warrior. Podcast. Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
No hot takes. No garbage. Just real talk.
Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
No fake takes. No first takes. Just real talk.
Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
All right, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast, presented by WTP Sports. This is episode 46. That makes it the David Krejci episode, or perhaps the James Devlin episode, or perhaps the Jacoby Ellsbury episode. Remember back in the day when we all still liked him before he became a douche and went to New York? He did wear 46 back in the day when we won a championship with him in 07. So perhaps even the Jacoby episode. We'll use him for this. Big shout out first off to Marcus and the Boxers podcast for the ridiculous intro. Check them out on Mondays, they come out, and Tuesdays is Mac and Goo, and Wednesdays is hashtag Dork. Subscribe to the entire Triforce. I do. I love it. So there we go. Quick shout out to them. Today I'm talking Bruins. I'm having Lauren Campbell on. She's a writer for CLNS and Couch Guy Sports. She's also the co-host of the Loose Change podcast. Like I say, we're talking Bruins tonight. It's a pretty good interview, so you'll enjoy that. After that, I got the 3-minute drill, and I have This Week in Sports History. So, without further ado, let's get us into that interview. All right, so we're going to welcome onto the show Lauren Campbell. Lauren is a writer for CLNS and Couch Guy Sports, and she's also the co-host of the Loose Change podcast. Welcome onto the show, Lauren.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit of Bruins. But before we get into the Bruins, you wrote an interesting article about being a female hockey fan and kind of the challenges of that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been a hockey fan for pretty much my whole life, and I've noticed it more and more over the years. If I go out with my girlfriends or if I'm at a game, just like some snarky comments here and there. I like to wear my Milan Lucic jersey. Obviously, he's not on the team anymore. And, you know, he was the enforcer of this team. You know, he played a big role and he was here for a long time. And the jersey was a gift. So I'm not going to not wear it ever. And just things like, you know, snarky comments, like I said, oh, you only like Lucic because he's cute. Or can you name any other players besides him? Like, of course, you'd have a Lucic jersey. Or I'm just like, what does that even mean? Like, I'm here to enjoy a hockey game. I'm here to enjoy the experience that comes with a hockey game. And like I said, it's become more prominent like the last year or two, really. And, you know, I don't dress any different than any other person there. I'm in Bruins swag. I have my hoodie, I have a jersey, or I have a shirt, anything that's just with the Bruins. And it's just like, I look around and I'll see a lot of, you know, both males and females on their phones for most of the game. There's guys I see who aren't even interested in being there, where I'm just like, no one's going to stop and question them. They never will. And it's just frustrating because, yes, there are women and male fans who have no interest in being at the game when they're there. But it's like, don't ruin it for the rest of us. And it's just like, it's just so frustrating because, you know, as someone who's been involved in sports her entire life, I know what I'm talking about. I know the game. I pay very close attention to every Bruins game, every Red Sox game. And it's just like, I don't want to be referred to as a puck bunny or a pink hat because that's not who I am. That's not how a lot of female fans are. So just kind of putting it into like a female perspective, I thought it was important to get out there where it's like, you know, sure, like if you want to question us, do it like in a fun, like fun joking manner if you can. Like I have no problem talking about hockey. I'll talk hockey all day long, but don't question my loyalty to the game just because of a jersey I'm wearing.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's funny because I think there's, you know, the problem is that you see the stereotype, right? Where it's like, you know, women don't know what they're talking about, which my sister, now I grew up with season tickets to the Patriots. My sister knows a lot about football and knows what's going on. My mom, not so much, but she understands what's going on, but she's always like, what's that? What's going on here? So she's like, you know, she gets it. She understands. She knows all the players, but like she has a hard time, I think, focusing during the game sometimes. But like, I just feel like there's a lot of times, you know, women get dragged to stuff sometimes by their boyfriend, right? And it's like, they're there. They don't know what they're doing. But there's a ton of men, like you said, that are in the same boat where it's like they don't know what's going on. They don't know all the players. They couldn't name 10 players on the team either. And it's like, but because they're a guy, no one questions them because, like, well, you know, guys are supposed to know things about sports. And so we just assume that they do, whether, you know, and you won't question them about it or anything like that. And it's just like, you get a bad rap sometimes where you're like, you know, just cut the women some slack. There are women that know what they're talking about, just like there are men that know what they're talking about. And there are women that don't, and there are men that don't. It's just like, either you're a fan or you're not. It's, I don't know. It's one of those things. And I just think too, like, if you look at, especially in Boston, one of the best writers in Boston is Jackie McMullen. Like, she's been around forever, right? And it's like, she's a woman that knows exactly what she's talking about and is, you know, keyed into everything. It's like, how do we not accept women in the sports role when, you know, we've had someone for so long in that position where it's just like, you know, come on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. Like you said, Jackie McMullen is just, she's so good at what she does. And in the hockey world, we have Catherine Tappan, who's just phenomenal. And she started with the Bruins. And, you know, more people like them are so needed in the sports world for women fans, for women in general in the sports media world. And the more they become prominent and the more they become, you know, more heard, I guess you could say, it's going to do wonders for, you know, females who want to be in the sports world. They just want to be fans of the game. Like, I promise we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's like I say, it's an interesting situation. I do think too, sometimes like part of the issue is that, or people will just say, oh, the sideline reporter is a girl and she's pretty, so she must be just a pretty face and has no idea what she's talking about. When, like, I mean, Catherine Tappan started that way, right? And like, she knows, like, there's so many women that start like that, that know what they're talking about, that know what they're doing, that have been sports fans their whole life. And it's like, just because they're pretty, people think they got there because they're pretty and no other reason. It's like, come on, you know, like, it's just silly. So anyways, that's enough with the feminism. Let's move on to Bruins stuff.
Perfect.
But, the Bruins, obviously, right now, they're a point away from clinching a playoff spot. They're 5 points out of first place with 2 games in hand. They're winning tonight. Who knows what's going to happen? You know, by the time this airs, or by the time people hear this, the game's already obviously going to be over. But they've maintained success with so many guys being injured. Why do you think that is? Like, how have they done that?
Bruce Cassidy. I mean, I'll tell you, they would not be able to do this without Claude Julien. And that's no disrespect for him at all. He was a fantastic coach. He was here for 10 years. He did a lot of good. But Bruce Cassidy lets these players play under his system, but on their terms. You know, Patrice Bergeron's having a career year because he's able to be a two-way defenseman. He can focus more on scoring. I said defenseman. I meant, you know, off center.
I got you.
But he can focus on being that scorer. He doesn't have to focus on two separate things. He can focus on being the player he's supposed to be. And then, you know, he brings in players, you know, I know this is Don Sweeney, but, you know, Rick Nash, Brian Gionta, of all people, I never thought I'd be saying has been really good for this team when he was on the ice. And it's, you know, we lose Charlie McAvoy, we lose Daniel Chara, we lose these big name players, and it's next man up. And they have no problem like switching from this line to that line or playing with this person as opposed to that person. And then Ryan Donato comes out of nowhere and he's like, I'm just going to act like I've played for 5 years in the NHL. So this team has a really good identity and a really good chemistry. And we haven't seen that in a few years. And we saw it, you know, the end of last year when Cassidy came in after Julien was fired. And now it's just, he has control of this team and he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing. He's been with some of these guys for years. So to bring him in and to let him coach his way, but let the players play their way is something we haven't been able to see. And this is supposed to be a rebuilding year for the Bruins. Whoever guessed that they'd be a point away with 10 games left in the season, clinching a playoff spot, hopefully, and being in second
Crazy.
In the league. In the league.
I mean, and they put up a stat. I think it was like 8 guys scored their first NHL goal this year for the Bruins. It's just ridiculous, you know? And so I think you're totally right about the Cassidy stuff. You know, I remember Julien when, you know, he would have either, whether it be Sagan or whether it was, you know, Spooner when he was playing. It's like he would get, you know, a little too much in the offensive zone and he'd forget about the defense, and the next day he'd be on the ninth floor. And it's like, guy, like, you got to play him. Like, he's just, he's got to get through some of that stuff, and he's not going to be perfect. It's just, it is what it is. Like, there's nothing you can do about that, you know? And like, and so you let the guys play and you let them kind of feel their way through the game. And it's interesting you mentioned Donato, and I'm going to ask you a question about Donato in a few minutes, but watching the game tonight, he obviously scored a goal, a power play goal in the first period, but he had a few plays where like he probably should have scored, or he should have had something, you know, he should have had, you know, gotten a good shot on net, or, you know, made a good play and he lost the puck or he turned the puck over. It's like, you know, it's a second game in the NHL, first of all, but you just got to let him play. Like, you know, Claude, I feel like, was so, you know, had his, as Felgram, as you say, his Fribble crew, where it's like, you know, throw the fourth line on the ice. They're the old veterans, like, they won't make mistakes. They may not score, but they won't make mistakes on the defensive end. So it's like, well, what the hell good is that? You got to score some goals too. And, you know, trust your goalie. You're paying him $7 million a year. Trust your goalie to make some saves. And, you know, every now and again, let your guys take off and play offense. It's just, that's what you need to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. You know, it's like you said, it's Donato's second game. And, you know, he's gonna make mistakes. He's gonna adjust. We've seen Charlie McAvoy kind of lose his cool, and that's, you know, it's the young players really figuring out what to do, what not to do, where to be on the ice. And, you know, I go back to Brandon Carlo because I know he's, you know, he's still on the ice. He's been kind of sloppy, but Cassidy's letting him play, whether that's because there's so many injuries or what. But if he was under Julian's system still, like you said, he'd be right on that ninth floor. He would have been on the ninth floor 4 games ago. But, you know, and I think people forget that Carlo is really young too. He's just been on the team for 2 years longer than all the other rookies. Right. So people tend to forget that. And he's going to make his mistakes too. It's really annoying to see him fall on a lot of these games, but it's part of just kind of playing through and figuring out, like I said, figuring out those mistakes and not losing confidence in yourself. And I think under Claude's system, a lot of young players started to, but Cassidy kind of sees past that, and these guys play to their potential.
Right. Oh, makes sense. Makes sense. So I think you're right about that. I agree with you there. So, we mentioned all the players being hurt. Are they going to be healthy? Do you think they're going to be healthy when they get to the playoffs? Because the playoffs are going to be in a few weeks now. They got, after tonight, 10 games left. And so, you know, we don't have very long until the playoffs start. Are some of those guys going to be back? Are all those guys going to be back? What have you heard?
I think a majority of them are going to be back. I think Bergeron will be back. I think there's no way he doesn't play in the playoffs. He's played through punctured lungs, separated shoulders. So, and I think if he didn't go for x-rays on that foot, I think he'd still be playing. I think he was playing through that longer than we realize. McAvoy, I think he'll be good for the playoffs. He gets reevaluated on the 31st of this month, I believe. And, you know, it's an MCL sprain, so those are really tricky. And you don't want that MCL to tear. So,
right. Yeah.
I think he'll be back. He's young, he's healthy. Chara, I think he's fine. I think he'll be shut down until the playoffs, which I'm perfectly okay with. And Nash, I don't even know what the hell's wrong with him. He just kind of disappeared yesterday with an upper body injury. Yeah. So, but I
Let's
think
hope
most,
that's nothing.
I hope it's nothing. And, yeah. But I think most of these guys will be back. And if you have a healthy Bruins lineup, if you look at like what those lines would be, it's a scary, scary playoff team.
Well, that's what we've been talking about tonight on the broadcast. Like, you know, when you look at even their power play, I mean, with the guys that they're not even playing right now, you got Bergeron and, Pastrnak's out there right now. But to add to the mix of Pastrnak and Donato, right, you got Bergeron, you got Rick Nash, you got Charlie McAvoy, like, all of a sudden, your power play is disgusting, and your lines up and down are nasty. And it's funny because someone was saying, I was talking to someone about this today, and they were saying they had heard, or they were looking at the players that were injured, and they were like, that would be a hell of a line. You know, you got Bergeron at the center, right? Left wing is Nash. Right wing is Backes. And then you got Chara and McAvoy as a defenseman. And so it's like, Jesus Christ, like, you got a hell of a lineup injured. They're not even playing. So it's, you know, so I think when those guys come back, you know, that'll be interesting. So We'll see. Hopefully most of them will be back before we start. So now the Donato, I just think Donato's hysterical because here's a kid who gets 3 points in his first game and then misses practice the next day because he's got to go to class. And it's like, what?
It's such a power move by him. Like, and you know what? Good for him for being a Harvard star, getting a NHL contract and finishing school at Harvard. And, you know, finishing college is hard enough. It took me 6 years to finish undergrad. So I can't imagine doing it 4 years while playing a professional sport, still studying. And, you know, it's, so we're in March. Finals are coming up in a few weeks, 8 weeks or so. He's going to be having finals in the midst of the NHL playoffs. So,
right. I mean yeah. You know,
special.
Really? I mean, you think about me, and it's not like he's going to like UMass Lowell, like no offense to UMass Lowell, but like he's going to Harvard. Like it's right. A little bit different, you know what I mean? So
and he's going to finish Harvard, he's going to graduate.
Right, right. And that's the thing, you know, and I think the stark comparison here is from, you know, the NHL to basketball, right, where these guys are one and done. The majority of them are one and done guys. They go in, they play a year, they're out. You know, like the guys that are done, the guys that are in the tournament right now, they're done with school already. Yep. They're like, I'm going to the draft. I'm not doing any school. Fail me. Who cares? What difference does it make? I'm leaving anyways. You know, so it's one of those things where it's like, you know, the difference between the two sports is unbelievable. And I know that there are tons of guys in the NHL that, you know, play juniors and aren't in college or spend a year or two in college and then leave. Like, I realize that happens too. But certainly not to the frequency that it happens here and that happens in basketball. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that where a guy's, you know, going to class in the middle of the season and misses practice because he's like, oh, I got class this morning, so I got to go. It's just crazy, you know? It's wild.
It's so funny.
Yeah. So now, expectation-wise, what are you looking for expectation-wise from them?
From the team in general? Or
yeah.
I mean – I've said it on the Loose Change podcast. This team has, when healthy, has what it takes to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't know if they have what it takes to beat Nashville. I think it's going to be Nashville in the finals. But I mean, they beat Tampa Bay, the first place team, without half their lineup. They, you know, they're beating really good teams, and it's something that's really unheard of with the Boston Bruins team when they're injured, when they're, you know, going towards the playoffs. Everyone's like, oh, it's kind of scary because Tuukka Rask and he can't perform in the playoffs. But I think it's, you know, he's got a good group in front of him. So I do expect this team to go to the Stanley Cup playoffs if they are healthy. They have, that's the thing. That's the big if right there, if they're healthy. Right. But I think they can beat Toronto. I think they can beat Tampa Bay. And like I said, Nashville's the only one who really kind of scares me. But I expect this team to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't care if it's 7-game series the whole way through. They have to go.
Yeah. No, and I'm with you on that. I mean, I think that that's the expectation we're going to set. I don't know if they're going to get there. They're young. I am nervous about Tuukka. I feel like, and not that Tuukka's overrated because he's not. And I know he's played pretty well in the playoffs, but he's had those moments, man, where he's just not, he doesn't make the plays that he needs to make at the right times. And so to me, I question, like, is he worth all the money that you're paying him to be here, to be your goalie, to be the guy, right? Is he worth that? And I think that this year is going to tell a lot of that. And maybe not even this year, because maybe you say this year, okay, the guy's, you know, but next year for sure, if they can't get to the Stanley Cup Finals this year or next year, obviously barring like major injuries, that to me is a massive underachievement. And, you know, whoever it's on, I don't know who it's going to be on, but whoever it's on, I'd look at the goalie first and say, look, man, like we have to get there, right? And Thomas, when the last time they won, Thomas went on a ridiculous run. And obviously no one can expect that from any goalie.
Right.
But that's what won you the Stanley Cup, was the way Tim Thomas played. And if Tuukka can't put the team on his back and do that, or at least play well enough to match the goalie on the other side, then why are you paying him like a top five goal in the NHL?
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I mean, I do get nervous with Rask in the playoffs, but I think this year is just so different. He's, you know, I think there was beef with him and Julian last year, and he looks more confident, whether that's, you know, it's not his groin doesn't bother him anymore. He's not so fragile, quote unquote. But I mean, people need to also understand, and I know it's, you know, years removed from this, that Tim Thomas up and left this Bruins team and was just kind of like, here, this is your team now, Rask. You know, Thomas got his ring and he was like, eh, I'm done. So I think
I'll go live in my bunker.
Yep, exactly. And I still stand behind this, that if Tuukka Rask had one more year under Tim Thomas, he would not be the next Tim Thomas, but he'd be really, really close. So, I mean, he came in and he had to be a starter when he wasn't ready to be a starter. And I know, like I said, I know that's years past now, and he's grown into this newer elite goalie, I'll say. I don't know if that's gonna make anyone mad, but I think this year we've seen a different Tuukka, and I think we've seen a more confident and a more athletic Tuukka. He's good for, you know, crazy extended saves and kick saves, butterfly saves. Right. But I think we've seen more of that this year than we have in years past.
Well, the ironic thing is I feel like it really turned around when Cassidy benched him. I feel like at the beginning of the year, it was almost like he wasn't playing well enough. His head wasn't in the game. And Cassidy was just like, just sit down. And we're playing Hudobin, and we'll go from there. And Hudobin was unbelievable. He was sensational in those games. And, you know, and they just basically said, we're just going to keep going with it, and we'll just ride him for as long as it takes. And Tuukka had to answer the bell and say, hey, look, you know, he's playing well right now, and so of course you're going to play him. And I think it woke him up a little bit, because, you know, I wonder, you sign a contract like that and you get a little bit complacent, right? I mean, the guys they had in here with him, and like Chad Johnson and these other, and it's like, these guys aren't taking my job, right? And Hudobin comes in and plays his ass off, and it's like, maybe this guy could do the job, and certainly was doing the job. And so maybe Tuukka took a look in the mirror and said, I'm not doing enough, or I'm not giving enough, or whatever it was, you know, it kind of pushed him to that next level. And again, that's another situation where you look at Cassidy and you say, there's no way that Claude does that, because he's loyal to his players to a fault, where it's like his guys, he's going to let work through their issues. Whereas like the guys, you know, the young guys or whatever, he's going to bench them and whatever, but he wouldn't, to me, I feel like he would have never done that.
No, you're absolutely right. I have zero faith that he would have done that. And I think, you know, like you said, Rask was benched and he watched Hudobin play phenomenally. And once Rask got back in net, he was like a totally different player. And sometimes that's all you need. You just need that kick in the ass where it's like, you need to get your stuff together. Let's go. Like, you are our number one goalie. And he absolutely got comfortable with the contract he made. And like Chad Johnson, Jonas Gustafsson.
Right.
Last year there was the year before, it was, you know, Malcolm Subban was here. Zane McIntyre was here. And we just couldn't, you know, Rask and Hudobin were hurt. So it was just like, there was no set goalie. Like, he was the goalie, and right, they're not going to put Subban in over Rask for the hell of it. Like, Claude wouldn't do that. So, you know, when you get comfortable being like the starting goalie because you don't really have a choice, then you have Hudobin who comes in here and can give you a run for your money. You start thinking like, okay, like, this is serious, and you get a better team in front of you, you get the better defense in front of you, you get confident players, you get a confident goalie. So It's been a whirlwind of things, and it started, you nailed it. You started with the benching.
Right. So hopefully this year will go well, but the future looks very bright, like really bright.
It sure does.
So my question to you is, which young, now obviously throw out injuries, throw out, you know, anything happening, out of the young guys they have, who do you think is going to be the best player overall? And I'll take Pasta out of that situation, because Pasta's been around long enough. I know he's still young, but he's been around long enough that I'll take him out of that situation. So we're talking about like McAvoy and Donato and even Carlo and, you know, and you want to throw Heinen in there, like any of the young guys that are starting out, you know, recently, Grizzlick or whatever. I mean, Grizzlick's probably not going to be the guy, but, you know, but the point is, you understand what I'm saying. So yeah, any of these young guys. So,
you know, I think it's going to be McAvoy or Heinen, and that's not taking a knock at Donato. I think he's going to be fantastic, but I think the way McAvoy plays, it's, people say we need that big defender, and he's not afraid to get to the puck. He's not afraid to help with the assist. He scores some goals every now and then, and he makes such a difference on the ice. He's such a presence, and people know he's on the ice. And we haven't had that kind of defender in a long time, and he's made Chara look 20 years younger. So I think McAvoy is going to be a complete stud, and I think Heinen, who is having a fantastic year, is completely underrated, and I think he's flying under the radar, and I think he's going to be one of those other players where it's just kind of like, oh, he's really good, and just completely blow away any expectations.
Right. No, that's true. That's true. I think you're right. I mean, I do like that pick because he's definitely under the radar. Like DeBrusk has gotten a lot of press. Obviously, Donato at this point has gotten a lot of press. Like, but I think Heinen's kind of that. He's very skilled. He's really skilled. A lot better than, than people give him credit for. So what's ironic about the McAvoy thing is that the Bruins are trying to trade up to get Hanifin, who went to BC and is from Boston. And they obviously didn't do it, and they ended up drafting Zboril, DeBrusk, and Senshin that draft, and they ended up getting McAvoy later. So it's almost like they got their defenseman later, and they still ended up with three solid. I mean, we haven't seen much from the other two, but obviously, DeBrusk looks legit. So it's like they got three young prospects as well as their defenseman, and I don't, I'm not going to say that McAvoy is better than Hanifin, but he has the potential to be as good, if not better, than Hanifin is. So I think that, it was kind of almost a blessing in disguise that they didn't make the trade, because if you have Hanifin, you probably don't draft McAvoy because you already have Hanifin.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that was the perfect pick. I think, Hanifin's really good, but I think there's a reason they didn't try to get him the way that they've tried to get these other players on the ice.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see. But I think that's it, man. I think that's it. Do you have a score update for me? Do you have the game on in the background?
I do. It's they just tied it. St. Louis
Ah,
just tied
Christ.
it. There's 10 minutes to go. So,
Of course.
but all we need is 1 point to clinch a playoff spot.
That's
So,
it. Get it overtime and then clinch it. And I mean, realistically at this point, I know Tampa, it was on a little bit of a roll and whatever, but you're 5 points down with two in the hand. So with two in hand. So if you win those two games, and whatever two games, you win those two games, and then all you have to do is get two other points on them, and that's what, with nine games remaining, because we have 11. So, with nine games left, you got to make up 1 point. So realistically, the Bruins have a good shot at doing that. I know they got a lot of injuries they're gonna be playing through, and guys that don't get a lot of minutes are typically are gonna be playing a lot, but it is what it is. But I think, gearing up, getting ready for the playoffs is more important, those guys to get healthy for the playoffs anyways. So I'm like, even if you end up at two, so what? You're at two. I don't think it really matters, because the team that's really going to challenge you the most in the East, obviously, is Tampa. So even if you're two, you're still not going to play them until the Eastern Conference Finals. So, we'll say one or two is fine with me. Obviously, I'd like to be one, but one or two would be fine with me. So, anyways, well, Lauren, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it.
yeah, thank you so much.
Had
I
some
was
fun.
happy to be on.
And where can people find you?
Oh, people can find me on Twitter. My handle is a little obnoxious. It's three laws and then Lauren with four R's. So a little obnoxious. It's been my thing for the past like 15 years. You can find my written work on couchguysports.com, clnsmedia.com, and then find us on the Loose Change podcast weekly. So find me all over the place.
All right. Nice. Cool. Well, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon. And maybe, well, hopefully we'll be talking about a Bruins Stanley Cup. Maybe we'll have you back on.
Absolutely. I'm happy to come on whenever you need me.
All right. Have a good night. All right.
You too.
Thanks. Okay. Big thanks to Lauren for coming on. Really appreciate that. Check her out. She's got a lot of good articles on CLNS.com and also on Couch Guy Sports as well. And her podcast, Loose Change Podcast, comes out every week, and it's a lot of fun. So check that out for sure. Okay, so let's get into a few segments here. We're going to start off with the 3-minute drill. The 3-minute drill today, I'm going to be talking about the ridiculous ESPN article about the 20 most dominant players of all, just absolute morons. And so we're going to be talking about that for 3 minutes. I could probably go for 20 minutes, but I'm going to try to limit myself to 3 minutes. So here we go. Let's get it started. All right. So look, I mean, it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. I mean, it really is an embarrassment. There's no other way to say it. Look, here's your top five, okay? Tiger Woods, LeBron James. I think those two are legit. You can say those two are legit. Number three is Peyton Manning. Number four is Jimmy Johnson. And number five is Roger Federer. So Jimmy Johnson, I know, is a NASCAR driver. I'm not a big NASCAR guy. I know, you know, some of you may not be big NASCAR guys either. The numbers that he has put up, I think it's legitimate. He could be in the top five. Federer, I think, is legitimate. He's had an unbelievable run. Peyton Manning, are you kidding me? Peyton freaking Manning? Get the hell out of here. First of all, if you have a list, now Tom Brady is 20th out of 20 on this list. 20th. If Tom Brady is 20th on any list that you have, I don't care what the list is. It could be best baseball players of all time. If Tom Brady is 20th on your list, delete and start over, because whatever you're doing to measure the metrics is wrong. Because Tom Brady is arguably the greatest player to ever play the sport of football, and he's 20th on dominant players. How is that even possible? How is that even possible? He's just five Super Bowl rings, and Manning has two. He has two. Brady has four MVP trophies. Four, not just MVPs, Super Bowl MVPs. Manning has one. So you start looking at those things, and you say, are you kidding me? How in the world could Peyton Manning be number three? And it's just, it's an embarrassment. It's an absolute embarrassment that he's there and Brady's so far down the list. But if you look at some of the other stuff that's there, Serena Williams is 12. 12 for Serena? Like, Serena Williams is 12. Probably the best, female tennis player of all time is 12th. Floyd Mayweather's 8th, so okay, fine. You know, Marta is 9th, but it's like Usain Bolt is 10, and then Messi's 11, and you're looking at it like, okay, I mean, I guess, right? But like, I don't know. Some of the names in this list, you're like, where are you even coming up? Alex and Felix, like Barry Bonds is 17, and I know it's the last 20 years, but Barry Bonds was pretty good for a while, right? Mike Trout is 18, Manny Pacquiao is 19, and Brady is 20. What? Like, at that point, you just start over and say, I'm wrong. Like, Brady can't be 20th and Manning is 3rd. That's total insanity. The whole list makes no sense whatsoever. And for anyone, regardless of whether you're a Patriots fan or not, you would have to look at it and say, okay, Manning and Brady, even if you think Manning is better, it's Manning 1A, Brady 1B. It's that simple, right? Stats, use whatever metric you want, doesn't matter, right? And it says, well, will he retire with the most wins of all time? That's true. Except, of course, he was playing in 99 and 2000, and Brady didn't start playing until 2001. So he had two more years beyond Brady, and Brady passed him the next year. So any metric you look at, it's insane. Brady being 20th is ridiculous. The fact that they allowed this to go to print is an embarrassment. And I guess people have been talking about him, so I guess it works, if that's what they were looking for. But Jesus Christ. If that's all you're trying to do is get clicks, and you're trying to do it with like shock value, let's put Serena 12 and put Brady at 20, and meanwhile Peyton Manning's 3rd, that's just absolute lunacy, and delete and start over, I'm telling you. Again, I think Tiger being number 1, you can argue that. I think it makes sense. I even think LeBron being number 2, I can see that. He's the greatest basketball player of all time, probably, arguably, the greatest basketball all time, player of all time. That's another discussion. Should do a 3-minute drill between MJ and LeBron. But those two, 1-2, okay, I'm with it. I got you. Even 4 and 5, like, I'm okay with them being top five. But Peyton Manning, just, oh, God. I mean, if you switch Brady and Manning, I'm okay with the list for the most part, right? A few of those other people, like Serena, should have been higher, whatever. But Jesus Christ, if you put Manning over Brady in any list, as long as it's not losers, you're an idiot. So, there's my 4-minute drill. But I had to keep going. I had to keep venting, man. It's brutal. So if you haven't checked it out, I guess check it out. You're going to give ESPN more clicks. But it's so ridiculous that you just kind of, it's worth checking out. Matter of fact, Casey Smith, who used to be on Boston Sports Tonight, now is working for Barstool. She wrote a really good blog about it on Barstool. So maybe instead of checking ESPN, check Casey Smith's blog about it, because That's informative. And WTP Sports, from what I've been told, is going to have one as well. So you check, maybe check WTP Sports for that. So let's get into this week in sports history. I'm going to go chronologically, as I always do. Okay, March 25th, 1971, the Boston Patriots become the New England Patriots. Okay, so at this point, they were trying to find an identity. They were trying to kind of, you know, they wanted to include more people. They wanted to try to, like, gain a fan base. Realize that, you know, there's no other team in New England. So let's do the New England Patriots instead of just the Boston Patriots. They did that. They opened up Schaefer Stadium that year as well in 71. And the rest, as they say, is history. Not really. I mean, it took a long time for them to get there. But they did. I don't know if you know this or not. Fun fact, Michael Jackson saved the New England Patriots. That's a hell of a story. One day I'll tell it to you. But for now, just know that Michael Jackson saved the New England Patriots. So my second one is March 26, 1973. UCLA wins their seventh straight NCAA basketball championship. Seventh straight basketball championship. It's just foolish, dude. They hadn't lost a game since 1971. Of course, this is during their 88 consecutive win streak. Interestingly enough about the 88 consecutive wins, I don't know if you know this or not, but their last loss before the streak was to Notre Dame, and their streak was broken the next year in 1974 by Notre Dame. So it's just kind of crazy how, like, Notre Dame was their kind of bookend the 88 wins, but just absolutely ridiculous. The longest winning streak since was from UNLV from 89 to 91, and that was 45 games. Nobody's gotten close to the streak. It's untouchable as far as I'm concerned. I know, you know, UConn women's probably has surpassed it at this point. I haven't looked at the numbers there, but I mean, men's basketball, no one's going to come close to this. It's just not, it's not going to happen. There's no way. So 88 wins. That's just stupid. Right? I mean, really, it's a, you know, 4 years in a row. It was nuts. So, you know, 71, 72, it's ridiculous, right? And then 73 and then all the way. So anyways, the point is 88 straight games. Are you kidding me? Seven straight NBA, NCAA basketball championships is ridiculous. And John Wooden, obviously greatest coach, you know, probably the greatest coach in the history of coaching. Forget about the sport in general. It's just the greatest coach in the history of coaching. And some of the cool stories about, you know, Bill Walton has told some cool stories about John Wooden in the past. And there's been so, you know, so many great quotes about John Wooden. But, you know, one of the things that Walton talked about, which I thought was really interesting, was he said, you know, he had a way of doing everything. So everything was scripted almost. Like, we didn't have to think about anything. Everything was set for us. You just got on the floor and you played basketball, right? He's like, you know, first day, he's like, okay, this is how you tie your shoes. And Walton's like, I know how to tie my shoes. Like, I'm in college. I've been tying my shoes since I was in, like, first grade. And he's like, yeah, I realize that, but I have a more efficient way of tying your shoes where your shoes won't come, you will come untied less. And he was like, what? But it's the attention to detail that matters. And Belichick does the same type of stuff where Belichick's always talking about situation, game situation, have you practicing for a situation. And Patriots players have talked about that where it's like, you just go on the field and you're not thinking, you're just playing and you've been through every single situation already anyways and you're prepared for it. And UCLA was the same way where they were prepared for whatever was coming their way because they had already practiced it, they'd already thought about it, they'd already worked through it. So again, you know, Gooden, probably the greatest coach in the history of basketball. I would say, you know, definitely in the history of basketball, and I would say, you know, maybe even in the history of sports. I know Red maybe could challenge him in basketball. I would say to me, it's, you know, it's Wooden and Red are the two basketball ones, right? One's NCAA and one's NBA. So it's really the kind of the question there. I think it's a tough call, right? Because on one hand you say, well, Red was a GM, but at the same time, Wooden was the recruiter. So it's like they were both kind of bringing the guys in and coaching them up. That might be that's a good conversation to have one day. But anyways, point is that, you know, March 26th, 1973, their seventh straight NCAA championship. So that does it for the episode tonight, man. I appreciate you following along with us. Just want to give a few quick shout-outs before we're out of here. Want to give a quick shout-out to MDOT and Core for the outro song. MDOT is at MDOT Boston on Instagram and Twitter. His newest album, Ego and the Enemy, is on iTunes, so check him out. He's overseas now, like I talked about earlier this week. He's in, I don't even know, dude. He's been in like seven countries, flying all over the place: France, Switzerland, Belgium, Estonia. He's all over the place. So, you know, follow along with him, and he's posting stuff about where he's been and stuff. Cool stuff. And then Core is at Core of EMS, and it's Core's with a K, so it's K-O-R-E of EMS. So we appreciate him coming on. Thank you to Lauren for coming on again. It was a fun interview. I enjoyed talking Bruins. We haven't done a ton of, you know, I haven't done a ton of Bruins talk, and so it was kind of interesting to kind of take a little turn and do a little bit of Bruins talk. You know, Bruins and Celtics are coming upon the time where we're just about to playoff time, and so, you know, kind of little preview for the playoffs. I don't think I'll get to the Bruins again before the playoffs. So a little, you know, kind of playoff preview, what to expect from them, what we're expecting from them, and then we'll go from there. Okay. For me, reach out to me on Twitter. It's at Weekend War Pod, and again, weekend has no E's in it. So it's WKNDWARPOD. And that's Instagram. I'm actually on Instagram as well. So Instagram and Twitter at Weekend War Pod, and I'm also at WTP Lane. So you can follow me there as well. So, and you know, anywhere you listen to the podcast, you know, rate, subscribe, and review. But certainly iTunes is the best one, because the more you do it on iTunes, the higher, you know, the higher it gets, and so on and so forth. So if you could, you know, leave us a 5-star review, that'd be really cool. We'd appreciate that. So that does it for this week. Again, thank you for following along. Have a great week, and I will see you next week.
Listen and rock to what it is that you want. Warriors, you'll need to tune in.